Welcome to The Gut Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you sort out your belly, your hormones, and your relationship with food. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-round health geek. But recently, since having a baby, I feel like I just spend most of my time covered in bodily fluids, mainly pee and vomit. Yeah. Welcome to this week's episode, and this week we are looking at, should you go vegan? And is veganism the healthiest diet you can do? And if you do go vegan, how do you approach it? What does some of the evidence say? Who should really not go vegan? What kind of person really shouldn't go vegan? And just my general approach and assessment of the vegan diet from a nutritional perspective. I do talk a little bit about the ethical and moral standpoint because that is a really important consideration. And I also talk about meat and industrialized meat versus more organic grass-fed meat and all of that sort of good stuff. So it might be a little controversial. I know it's a bit of a hot topic. Veganism is really, really trendy. So I did want to just talk about my opinion and really explain why I personally am not a vegan. Even though I have tried to be in the past, it doesn't work for me and my health issues. And it's not generally a diet I recommend a lot in my kind of nutrition clinic either. And so a little bit of why that is, but also a little bit of what the benefits of it are as well, because there are some benefits too. So I hope that you enjoy it. But before we dive in, if you are looking to really get a tailored and bespoke plan of action for your body, then I am offering a couple of limited spaces in my one-to-one nutrition clinic. So I run an online nutrition clinic where we do consultations, and I work with a limited number of clients, and you can find out more about that if you head to my website, which is supernaturallyhealthy.org. You can fill in a form there and just find out if it's a good fit for you or not. Because sometimes if you've been around the houses with your health and you feel like you're getting nowhere, you've tried everything, then I know from my own experience, it's often time to get some outside support and help and a really strategic kind of tailored plan of action that's not just some generic thing that you've read about in a magazine or in Google or even in a book. There's something so powerful about figuring out what's going on with your body and then giving it what it specifically needs. And that's really what I see my role as. So hit me up either via Instagram or Facebook if you have any questions or you want to know more. Otherwise, enjoy this episode about should you go vegan. So, should you go vegan? That's what we're looking at today. This is a juicy topic. I'm very excited to talk about it. Also a little bit scared, because it's not very popular to talk about the potential pitfalls of veganism. It's a very trendy dietary approach to have. And so I will be honest and upfront about what I think, feel, the research that I've done, my recommendations, and just to let you know, I'm not a vegan, so this will be coming from that bias and that perspective. But I'm really hoping, I'm really hoping to give you a balanced approach. You know, it's something I've researched. I have tried being vegan in the past, and I have utmost respect for vegans. I think it's often people who do go vegan are actually doing it from a more conscious and mindful approach to what they eat. They care about animals, they care about the planet. And I think there's so many good things about the vegan diet, but there's also, from my research and experience, a couple of big pitfalls. So I'm going to talk a little bit about them, but I'm also going to talk about, so what if you do want to go vegan, that you really do feel like, you know what, Kezia, I feel really passionate. I'm really unhappy with the food industry, with the horrible treatment of animals, with the industrialization of meat and dairy and all that sort of stuff. And I really do want to go vegan. I'm going to actually share with you some strategies that I would recommend in terms of how you approach it. So if you really do want to do it for ethical and moral reasons, actually how to do it in a way where you can bypass some of these potential pitfalls and problems. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of veganism and then I'm going to look at, what does some of the research and evidence say? Because it is really mixed. Because if you have ever met an enthusiastic vegan, you will often hear them say, oh, well, it's just so clear. You know, have you read the book, The China Study, which, by the way, isn't a study, it's a book. Anyway, you know, just it's so obvious. All research says meat is terrible for you and that everyone should be a vegan. And that is not the case. That is often coming from someone who hasn't actually looked at the research or only ever read papers done with the bias of veganism in perspective or looking to propagate veganism. So the evidence is mixed. It, from my perspective, it isn't clear. It's not like when you look at the evidence, oh, geez, oh, yeah, I mean, everyone should be vegan. That's not what the evidence says. It's a real, real blend. And so if people say that to you, you can just sort of smile and nod because often vegans are wonderful, enthusiastic human beings, but they're not often, they often get so enthusiastic about this nutritional approach of veganism that they often talk about it like they're an expert. And there is vegan experts and doctors and things out there that are great, but a lot of the time, you know, honestly, the amount of infographics that I've seen that of like, you know, cows never eat meat, so why do we eat meat? Ha ha ha. And you're like, because cows are a different mammal. That's why they can eat grass and why we can't eat grass. You know, that, you know, we look at our anatomy. You can't just suddenly compare us to a cow. Otherwise, we should, you know, you can say the same to other mammals that eat their infants. You know, why don't we eat our infants? Which obviously we would never do because it's inhumane. Anyway, so I just sometimes get a little bit passionate about the poor quality information out there. So hopefully I'm going to share with you some slightly better quality information and you can decide for yourself what is going to work for you. And if you do want to go vegan, then I've got a couple of really helpful strategies that can help you to do it in a really healthy way in the long term, because that's often the problem with veganism, as we'll come to find out. It can be really helpful for a temporary period of time, but long term research shows that can actually have quite a widespread amount of nutritional deficiencies, which we're going to look at. So first of all, what is veganism? It actually came about from my awareness and research. I actually wrote a paper on this for my postgraduate degree, and sort of in the, I think it was roughly around the mid 40s. So there was the Vegetarian Society, and basically a subset of that decided, you know what, we don't want any products, we don't want to exploit animals in any way. And that's kind of how veganism first came about. So it's a relatively modern diet. I wouldn't even say it's 100 years old in its official formation. There might have been echoes of that in different cultures before that, but when it was formalized as the vegan diet was, as far as I'm aware, sort of, I think it was in the 40s, but it was only in 1979 when the Vegan Society became established and officially kind of hardcore defined it as a philosophy and way in living that seeks to exclude as far as possible and practical all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, or any other purpose. So you can find that on the Vegan Society website. That's where I got that information from. So it's a relatively modern diet, and this often is, this is one of the biggest bits of misinformation, is people are like, well, people have always been vegan. No, people haven't always been vegan. It's really difficult to eat a strict and healthy and healthful, unprocessed vegan diet without the industrialization of food. So now, if you're a vegan, you can do it relatively easily in our Western culture because we get avocados imported for those healthy fats, because we can get different beans and lentils that we might not have grown in the UK. We can get olive oils from Italy. We can get actually lots of these different foods, you know, tempeh and soy, which in the UK, we weren't going to be growing those. We weren't making tofu like 300 years ago, and it's a vegan diet can only be sustained through the industrialization and the globalization of our food industry. Now, you may think that's not necessarily a bad thing, but the point I'm trying to make is that veganism isn't this thing that we've been doing for thousands and thousands of years. People historically and in traditional texts and traditional societies maybe have had periods of time where they have been a more vegan, but even then, often it has involved some sort of animal product, even if it's more of a vegetarian approach. So people might have still had eggs or goat curd or, you know, used blankets from furs of animals or, you know, different approaches like that. So the first kind of myth, I suppose, is that we've always been vegan and it's only in the past 100 years that we've started to eat meat. That's not the case. We have always, if you are living off of the land, you'd have to depend on animals. It's really difficult if you're living off the land to grow enough lentils and beans, as far as I'm aware, and I'm happy to stand corrected on this. It's really difficult to get a good nutritional balance just living off the land without the basically importing of food and different things from across the world. So that's the first one. So it became established and official in sort of 1979, but it originally, from my research, kind of came about in a more formalized fashion around the 1940s, I think, as like a subset from the kind of vegetarian society and the vegetarian move. So that's a little bit about what it is. And what it is you basically don't want any animal products. So no honey, no eggs, no dairy, obviously no meat, no fish, nothing that has been impacted or is involved in the exploitation of animals. Now, before I dive into this, I want to say that I 100% agree and I'm all for not exploiting animals, and I hate the industrialized meat industry. I want to make that really clear. Industrialized meat production is toxic, it's low nutrient density, and it is, I frankly think, it's a bit of an abomination and a horrible expression of our humanity and our responsibility to animals. Animals and chickens should not be kept in cages and have their feet falling off and be injected with hormones and antibiotics and drugs to make their breasts bigger so that we can eat chicken breast every day. Cows shouldn't be fed grain. They shouldn't be allowed to roam and eat grass and be honored and respected in their lives. And I want to make that really clear. That's my perspective. I hate the industrial meat industry. I try not to eat any industrialized meat. I never buy it. And I can completely understand why so many people have reacted against it, because it is absolutely, it's abhorrent. It's a horrible, horrible thing. There's no way we should treat animals that are under our care and protection in that way. So just to make that clear, I am not, when I'm talking about eating meat in this, I'm talking about eating well looked after, high welfare, organic, grass-fed beef, chickens that have been fed proper food, not been stuffed with antibiotics and drugs, that roam outside, that have a nice chicken life, and then, you know, do obviously get slaughtered. And I'll talk a little bit about that kind of life and death cycle and my sort of moral approach to it, because it's important. Actually, I'm going to talk a lot about the nutrients around veganism, but it is a moral and ethical choice, which is why we can't be so definitive. But I'm going to share my perspective on it and give you a little bit of what the evidence says, and you hopefully can just go and make up your own mind. But just note, in this podcast, when I'm talking about meat, I'm talking about really high quality meat, not just packets of chicken breasts that you buy from the supermarket, from unhappy chickens pumped with drugs and antibiotics that have never seen the light of day and have probably gone insane and were highly stressed out their whole lives. That does make me cry. I'm not gonna lie. And so we'll move on. So when it comes to veganism, let's look a little bit at what we know about it and what some of the research says. So it's obviously you're not including animal products. And what that can mean is, so we'll talk a little bit, actually I'm going to start beginning by looking at some of the benefits of it, because I'm looking at research, and just to clarify, the research isn't that clear from what I can tell. And I also looked, if you Google Chris Kresser vegan debate, I think, you'll see a great debate between a doctor who's all for quality meat versus a doctor who's all for veganism. And actually they have this debate, all based on research, all based on evidence, and the conclusion is it's a debate. It's still not that obvious. You know, there's good arguments on both sides, but the general conclusion is from that debate is that to remain a healthy vegan, supplementation is required. And so then that becomes, and that is the summary. Basically, if you don't listen to the rest of the podcast, That's the summary. If you want to be vegan long term, you need to be really careful on your supplementation and test regularly your nutrient levels. And the only way to exist as a healthy vegan long term is to supplement specific nutrients. And then the argument then is that actually a natural and healthful way for a human to eat? If the only way you can stay healthy on it is to artificially supplement your diet because you're not getting those nutrients through your diet. And I would argue that's not what the human body is made to eat. So that's the general summary. If you don't want to study anything else, then ta-da, that you can go on with that. So in terms of the benefits, some of the things that we know, there is some research that shows the benefits of veganism. So there's been lots of, there's some research showing that it can really help to, with individuals help to maintain a healthy weight, lower blood pressure, help with serum cholesterol levels, lower the risk of cardiovascular disease. It also shown to have a positive impact on kind of glycemic index in people. It also has some argument that it helps with bone health, although from my research, it actually looks unclear. I personally don't think it helps in kind of osteoporosis prevention. Also, there is not necessarily evidence, but you have things like Gerson therapy and different alternative approaches to, say, cancer treatment. And people, there's anecdotal advice that, you know, doing that can help with cancer. And there's various different protein, often around it helping heart health, often around weight, often around glycemic kind of index and control. Some issues, some potential benefit around osteoporosis, but that's not that clear. Some potential benefit around diabetes, but again, that's not that conclusive from the limited research I've done. I've obviously not read every single paper under the sun, but from what I've looked at. So there is some documented health benefits, but it's also worth noting that when you're doing a study and you're looking at how does vegetarianism or veganism impact cardiovascular disease, for example, someone who identifies as a vegan or even a vegetarian, there's this phenomenon called the healthy user bias. So because veganism isn't just about diet, as we heard before, the definition of veganism is more of a lifestyle. It's a set of moral and lifestyle choices. So naturally, through making that choice and identifying as a vegan, actually, it's not just what you eat, but actually lots of aspects in your diet are going to be, and your life are going to be healthier. So we know from research that vegans are obviously less likely to smoke, they're more likely to have exercise in their diet, they're more likely to meditate and have stress management processes, they're more likely to have healthy communities, and the vegan community can be a really supportive community and give that sense of togetherness that is so lacking in our culture. So there's this aspect called the healthy user bias. So whenever you're doing a study where you're comparing vegans or vegetarians even to a standard population, which can vary so much, then actually it's not always the most healthiest of comparisons. So what I would love to see in research is vegans compared to really health conscious meat eaters and see actually then if there's a big difference, because obviously there's going to be a difference between a vegan and between someone who smokes and drinks and eats McDonald's every day and has 6 beers every night. Of course, a vegan's going to be healthier because they actually eat vegetables. So that is some of the issues with the research that we have, is that there is a strong healthy user bias. Vegans naturally are just going to live healthier lives because it's not just a diet, it's a lifestyle, it's an ethical, it's a moral, it's a philosophy, a philosophical approach to life and well-being. So that's also worth knowing when we look at the research. So there is some documented benefits for shizzle when it comes to veganism. But then when you counteract that with some of the risks involved as well, so there's repeated evidence that shows that those who adhere to a strict vegan diet have really low vitamin B12 levels. And there was one study that showed that 52% of vegans were B12 deficient. And then other studies that used a much more accurate and sensitive approach to measuring B12, because obviously you've got to have an accurate measurement of B12 in order to figure out people's deficiencies. Another test that had a much more accurate and effective testing method of B12 levels found that actually 92% of vegans had low B12 status. And you might be like, eh, vitamin B12, whatevs. But not that important. But vitamin B12 is a really important nutrient for, it basically impacts how we replicate DNA and how we do cell metabolism. And your DNA is replicating every second of every day. And so And B12 is really essential, is one of the really essential nutrients that helps to this DNA replication and cell metabolism. It's also really, really important for iron absorption, and a low B12 level can actually lead to long-term anemia. And iron is a really essential mineral for loads of other things going on in the body. So long-term veganism often leads to documented low B12 levels, and that is no joke. DNA replication is really important in the body. It's really important for this kind of methylation process, which I won't go into, but you can Google it if you want to geek out on it. And also it really impacts our levels of iron and can contribute to anemia in the body as well. So that is that's often one of my big things. And to counteract that, vegans will often say, oh, well, I take spirulina to help with my B12. So spirulina, which is an algae, is apparently got good B12 levels. But there was some great research that looked into algae-based B12. And although it is a vitamin B12, it's the wrong molecular structure for the body to actually use and utilize it. So the only form of B12 that the body can use comes from animal protein and animal products. So if you think, oh, well, I'm getting my B12 from algae and spirulina and chlorella and things like that, then you won't be. Just saying. So B12, other things that it can really impact, obviously, is iron, like I function, which is really important, not just for energy and for your blood and hemoglobin and all that sort of stuff. It's really important for cognitive function as well. So there's another study that looked at the impact of veganism on adolescents and their cognitive function. And it looked at the deficiency of B12 and how that affected heart health and cognitive function in adolescents. And it looked at these adolescents that were being fed a macrobiotic vegan diet and they'd been on this diet for over 6 years as young people, as children, and it showed a greatly impaired cognitive function. So another takeaway, even if you are really, really passionate about being vegan, I would really encourage you, don't make your kids vegan. Our brains really need things like B12, really need things like iron and zinc that we'll go on to talk to. Really, there's a good amount of evidence that shows it's actually really detrimental for the development of children to feed them a consistently vegan diet. They really need the nutrients that come from meat, from fish, the fishy oils, the DHAs, the EPAs for brain development. And so if you are a parent and you really love being vegan and it really fits with what you believe, your beliefs, that's totally fine. But I would really encourage you to not make your kids, don't give your kids a vegan diet. Give them a really high quality. You can predominantly give them a vegan diet, and then maybe once or twice a week, give them some oily fish and some organic grass-fed liver. That would be perfect. And the occasional egg. That would work really, really well. So again, if you have more questions about that, you can ask me. So other nutrients that get impacted are also things like zinc. That's at risk of being deficient. And that's really important for our immune system, for our skin health. Another research paper showed that actually vitamin A deficiency is really common with in people with a vegan diet long term. And there's also different thoughts around other nutrients. But also there is, to counterbalance that, there is research that shows that a vegan diet is high in vitamin C and vitamin A, in magnesium, in polyunsaturated fatty acids and fiber, because most vegans eat vegetables, which is awesome. And vegetables are always going to be good for you. So I know that can seem a little bit sort of, it's not that clear. If you're looking for an evidence, looking at all the evidence, there is different biases at play. There's different things going on, but that's a rough element. But the main nutrients that I tend to think are most depleted in a vegan, long-term vegan diet is B12, it's iron, it's zinc. And those are actually really, really important for a healthy body. So that really looks at some of the nutritional components of it. Now, saying that, eating a whole food vegan diet also means you actually are potentially going to be eating more of other great nutrients. So if you are following a vegan diet and you are not eating lots of processed food, because there is so much processed food out there that is vegan, you know, and it's because it's getting more popular. I was in the supermarket the other day, there was this whole section of like vegan burgers, which are just filled with soy and junk and sugar and, you know, you can go and have a soy vanilla latte and it's vegan. You can eat chocolate and it's vegan. You know, you can be vegan and eat a really, really crap diet. Tons of sugar, tons of carbohydrates, you can be vegan, and because of processed food, because of industrialization, you can actually eat a really poor diet. And sometimes people do use veganism label as an excuse to restrict food and eat a crap diet, just as people can use a paleo label or a, you know, any other dietary label for that. But if you did want to go vegan, I'd really, really encourage you to it's imperative actually that it's a whole food based vegan diet. You can't rely on vegan sausages and bread and beans. That is not a healthy diet. A vegan diet needs to be really high in lots of varied vegetables, nuts, seeds, olive oils, coconut oil, milk. You really want to be having some good forms of protein in the form of tempeh. I don't really like tofu, but tempeh is a much better form of that. You really want to be focusing on whole, unprocessed food, not all this processed packaged food that often has a veganism label on it and is actually filled with complete junk. But say you are doing that and you're following a vegan diet and you're eating kind of whole and processed food, then actually you will be getting loads of great nutrients and fibers and lots of great stuff as well, which is why veganism can be actually really, really helpful. And I often tend to talk to people if they really want to do, if they really are feeling excited about a vegan diet, is actually to do it on a temporary basis. So to think about maybe for a couple of weeks or maybe even a couple of months of trying out and just seeing how you feel. And for lots of people, they can work really well by most of the time following a vegan diet. And then maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, they'll eat some eggs and maybe some red meat or some fish. And they'll include those foods in on a relatively regular basis, but they don't base their diet on it. And that can be a really, really healthy approach if you are really excited and feel really good going vegan. For me, I went vegan for a couple of months and it just made a lot of my health symptoms worse. I ended up with really sore joints. My gut health was just a disaster because often things like the increase of raw vegetables and beans and nuts can be really problematic if you have gastrointestinal issues. And it made me feel really tired. Often veganism also means a diet that's really quite high in carbohydrate, low in protein, and often low in fat, although you can have a higher fat vegan diet, which is what I tend to recommend. And often just you're on a bit of a blood sugar roller coaster because you're just constantly eating carbohydrate, which isn't always that helpful for this insulin management, which is really, really important for us to manage and look after in order to prevent future disease. But veganism often is quite high in fiber if you're doing a whole food unprocessed version. And so often what I would recommend is if you did feel really good, I don't feel good on a vegan diet. I have issues with methylation, so with that DNA replication. So for me, I feel not only from a gut health perspective, but just from genetically, I really struggle to, I struggle more with this DNA replication due to some genetic mutations. So for me to follow a long-term vegan diet is really problematic for my gut health. And even though it's much better now, it's still problematic for that, but it's also really problematic for my kind of cellular metabolism. But that's not the case for everyone. Some people really do thrive off of veganism. And one of the reasons can be as well, if you do go vegan, often you can be removing some of the inflammatory products. So industrialized meat can be inflammatory to the body because it's filled with antibiotics and toxins. And if we're eating the product of a stressed out animal that's been abused its whole life, there's actually going to be the nutrient density of that meat, of that animal product, is going to be really poor and potentially actually contribute to inflammatory pathways in the body. Also, you remove things like dairy. Most processed dairy can be really inflammatory for certain people. A lot of the times, if you transition to a whole foods, unprocessed vegan diet, you're actually also removing all the processed junk from your diet and all the processed sugars. You know, Coke is vegan, but most vegans don't eat it, again, because they take on this lifestyle change. They focus on making their whole lives healthier. They'll often do yoga, they'll meditate, they will have look after dogs, they'll have a community around them. And that is so much more healthful. So if you are switching to a whole foods vegan diet, it might actually do you really good. And some people can feel really good following a vegan diet for 6 months, a year, 2 years. But I would argue once you get to 2 to 3 years, that's often when people can start to decline or notice other health issues, because our body can store vitamins like B12 for a certain period of time, but eventually we'll use up those stores. Also, people can sometimes end up just really craving lots of sugar and sugary foods, even if it's healthy sugary foods, because there's this insulin mismanagement. So it's really important. Everyone is different with this. If you became vegan a year ago and you feel the best you have ever felt in your life, then rock on. Like, keep on going with it. But just know that it's really important that you actually maybe supplement with these certain vitamins, which I will talk about in a bit. And long term, you actually maybe want to be open to introducing occasional aspects of really high quality animal protein in some form or another. Also, it's really worth noting with veganism, if you are looking to get pregnant in the next 6 to 9 months, I would really strongly recommend you actually don't go vegan. But you do want to make some, it's a difficulty, you don't necessarily want to go hardcore vegan, but you don't want to eat the standard British diet either. You don't want to be eating industrialized meat, industrialized dairy, and loads of processed food. So everyone wants to be eating a whole food, unprocessed diet filled with vegetables, filled with healthy proteins and healthy fats. So if you are looking to get pregnant or you are pregnant though, I really recommend that you don't follow a vegan diet and that you introduce healthy wild fish in salmon, sardines and mackerel, because babies really need good amounts of DHA and EPA fatty acids for their brain development. It's really, really important that you either eat those foods or you supplement with fish oil, not vegan algae oils, actual fish oil. Even if you don't eat fish, you need to supplement with really good quality fish oils prior to getting pregnant and throughout your pregnancy. Also, you really want to be eating things like egg yolks and maybe some red meats. Really good quality grass-fed organic liver is a great food to have pre-pregnancy and during pregnancy in order to give you all those zinc, B12, and if you are mainly wanting to avoid meat, then what I really recommend doing is just eating organic grass-fed liver and no other meat. That really helps with the sustainability aspect, because most liver is often a waste product that doesn't get used. So you're kind of using up a byproduct that would otherwise go to waste. And it's also the most nutrient dense, so it means you can get away with eating less meat overall. So if you were looking to get pregnant and you were vegan and you wanted to prepare your body for a healthy pregnancy, then you might actually just maybe want to eat some wild sardines or salmon once or twice a week, or supplement with high quality fish oils like some fermented fish oil or krill oil. And then you would maybe once a week or twice a week is eat some homemade organic grass-fed pate on some toast or whatever it is that you're having. But I really wouldn't recommend A, forcing your kids to follow a vegan diet, especially when they're young, or being pregnant or looking to get pregnant and being really and strictly adhering to a vegan diet. You would want to introduce some really good high quality animal proteins. But equally, you don't want to be eating loads of industrialized meat or farmed fish either. And that's why this gets confusing, because you're like, huh? Because you've told me to eat meat and then you've just told me to not eat meat. It's really about quality food, whether you're vegan or not a vegan. You want to be eating the highest quality food that is available to you, the highest quality meat, the highest quality vegetables, the highest quality fats. And then it really comes down to your body and how you feel in terms of how regularly you want to be eating meat. Also, I want to really touch on quickly is the moral and ethical standpoint. Now, obviously, this is something you have to make your own decision about. But from my perspective, I'm just going to quickly share that a lot of veganism comes from this idea of exploiting animals and obviously killing them. You know, we slaughter them and eat their flesh. That is what you do if you are a meat eater. You kill an animal and you eat it and cook its flesh. And obviously that in our day and age, that can cause a lot of discomfort in how we feel about things. And veganism is part of kind of removing yourself from this industry and this cycle of causing death to animals just for the sake of eating them. And my perspective on this, now everyone is different, is actually even though it is really uncomfortable to think about killing animals, cute tiny little pigs and cute little lambs, that is an uncomfortable thought. But the cycle of life and death, we cannot extract ourselves from that. Life and death is a cycle that we are constantly in. And yes, it is uncomfortable. It is painful. It's not enjoyable. But you can't, from my perspective, we can't opt out of that. So if you decide to go vegan because you don't want to kill animals, the fact that, you know, so much land is getting used for soy, growing soy plants and wheat, actually destroys the habitat of lots of actually animals that would otherwise live there, just as much as industrialized cow production is ruining rainforests and that kind of thing. It's really difficult to fully opt out of this life-death cycle. We as humans do cause death, whether it's the house that we live in that ruined habitats for animals and birds, whether it's walking in the garden and we kill worms and snails, whether it's, you know, we're in a malaria-ridden country and we don't want to be eaten by mosquitoes because they carry malaria, whether, you know, that is a part of life, is that this is death and life cycle, and it is uncomfortable and death is painful. But I don't think that's a reason to try and opt out of it. I think it's actually good to wrestle with that. So from my perspective, I've never killed an animal with my own hands, but I have gutted and plucked and prepared fresh meat, and it was uncomfortable, but I'm really glad that I did it, because it really helped me to connect and really be really thankful for this animal's life. And yes, death is uncomfortable, but actually this animal is providing for me and my future children and for my health, and I'm really, really grateful for that. So that's my kind of ethical and moral stance on this. And obviously we all have our own one, and I can't dictate to you what you should have. But really, a really great book to find out more, which is written from a meat eater's perspective, but is a really good book, is called Eat the Yolks, which is a really really helpful book. If you just Amazon Eat the Yolks, that looks at how vegetarianism and veganism has come about. It looks at this whole life-death cycle. It looks at the nutrient perspective. And that, if you are looking to be vegan, I'd really recommend you read books about veganism and you read some books that counteract that as well, so that you get a balanced approach and you can see what you think. And my advice is, if you want to go veganism, then try it, see how you feel. If you feel great, then carry on. But I would really recommend that you supplement or occasionally eat and supplement your diet with things like grass-fed, good quality liver, egg yolks, wild fish, and maybe some occasional butter if you tolerate it. And the rest of the time you can be plant-based. But for many of us, we just actually won't feel well. I don't specialize in a vegan diet in my one-to-one clients, because I actually find that people often, if they're recovering from illness, they really need the good quality protein and a high amount of amino acids in order for their body to heal and repair. So I hope that has been helpful. I hope that's given you a little bit more information about it. If you have questions, which I'm sure some of you will, then you can message me at Instagram or at Facebook, Supernaturally Healthy. If you disagree with me, then let me know. If you know research that I don't know about, then let me know. But listen to your body, think about it, and figure out what feels good for you. And by all means, try the vegan diet, but know that often our bodies really need to eat animal products, but we can do that in a respectful, honoring, and conscious and mindful way. So, I hope that's been helpful. I know it can be a little bit controversial, and with the whole vegan January and everything else and everyone going vegan, but you don't have to go vegan. I'm not vegan, and I'm not going to go vegan anytime in the future. It doesn't work for me, it doesn't work for my body, and it's not healthy for me. And I would argue that it's not healthy for most people, unless it is heavily supplemented and is looked at. You know, it's not a healthy diet without the modern interventions, which some people don't have a problem with, but that is my stance. So sending you lots of love, whatever you decide to eat, whatever your approach is, and let me know any questions you have. Bye.